Welcome to the Quest Student Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Tony, along with my co-host, Casey Dennis.
Hey there, everyone.
And we are here to inspire and equip you as you empower young students to become great leaders. So, Casey, quick question for you. Do you have a green thumb?
No, I don't. I want one so bad, but I've come to terms.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's interesting because when I was growing up, my mom doesn't have a green thumb either. She has like a green arm.
That's awesome.
It's amazing what she can do with plants. I remember growing up, we had a plant in a room in our house. Actually, the room became known as the plant room because of this plant. There was, I don't even know what kind of plant it was, but it sat on a window, on a little stool by the window on the, would be the east side of that room, and went up the wall, across the ceiling, and down the other wall on the west side. I'm not even joking. This is like a 12, 14 foot long room.
That's
and
awesome.
This thing was everywhere. And I remember she had paper clips, and she would hook those paper clips onto the little railings that held our ceiling in, our ceiling tiles in. And that's how the leaves and the limbs of this plant hung on the ceiling. It was just phenomenal. But this thing lasted forever. And I don't think I could grow something with Miracle-Gro, to be honest with you.
Well, it's funny. My husband will make fun of me. I buy plants all the time because I honestly do desire a green thumb.
Yeah.
And someday I will have one. But at this point in my life, I don't. So there are like these plants called snake plants. I don't know their biological name.
Okay.
But they will not die. And I bought them, and you only have to water them like twice a week. And they're awesome.
I think we have some of those plants in our house.
They snake up.
They're called plastic. That's awesome. I have to look into that. I've never heard of that.
Snake plants. Yep, snake plants. So if you desire a green thumb, but you know you don't have one, get some snake plants.
Well, there we go. That's all we wanted to talk about today. So thanks for joining us. No, I'm just kidding. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of plants and growing healthy plants, where it concerns growing healthy young leaders. And it occurs to me that some of the same types of principles we might apply to helping a plant grow, we might apply to helping young students grow as leaders.
Absolutely.
So we want to talk about that a little bit today.
Actually, there are 7 things that you need to introduce to a plant to keep it thriving and healthy. So I thought it'd be fun today for me to just say what those 7 things are.
Okay.
And then I'd love for you to expound for us a little bit on how you would interpret that thing.
Oh, that sounds fun.
For how it applies to student leadership
development. Let's do it. That sounds great.
Cool. So the first thing, we all know plants need water. Water. So what do you see as water when it comes to us developing students?
Yeah. So water helps a plant to make use of the nutrients, helps it to synthesize, is the word, the nutrients that it has in the soil. And if that water's not there, then it can't draw out those nutrients. And so I would say water's like engagement, right?
Yeah.
So if a student's not engaged, if they're not engaged in the learning process and they're not engaged with what you're trying to walk them through, or teach them or show them, then they're not going to properly synthesize the principles. They're not going to learn the principles, draw out the nutrients that they need to really grow as a leader. And so I think you have to learn how to gauge engagement. So like I know with a plant, for example, I hear that if it's dry an inch deep into the soil, it needs water.
Right.
So I think there are ways that we can begin to recognize our students are not engaging. And when they're reached that critical point, make sure that we're doing what we have to re-engage them in the learning process, get their attention so that they can properly use the nutrients we're trying to give them.
And, you know, engagement, I find, is something that we're always going to have to continuously play with, because what might have engaged a student last month may not engage them this month.
Yeah,
right?
It absolutely. It's a quality that you have to check consistently.
Which exactly with watering plants.
Absolutely.
This is why my plants are not alive, is because if I miss, you know, 2 days of watering them, they start to wilt.
Well, you think about the idea that if just because it rained doesn't mean your plants have enough water.
Right, yeah.
So even when it rains, even when you feel like, wow, I'm doing great, and I know the kids are loving this, they seem really engaged, you still have to check. Because if they're not engaged, they're not synthesizing those nutrients, they're not getting the principles, and they're not going to properly develop.
So the second thing of the 7 is, we know plants need water, but they also need sunlight. So what do you think is sunlight?
Well, light to me seems like a simple analog for growing leaders, and that is, to me, is discovery. Light is understanding. In fact, we say in the Quest Student Leadership System through the value agents, Lumino, who's our character there, his special ability is light. He's developed the ability of light. And we say it this way, that we love the light of learning. Learning is light. Knowledge is light and understanding. But what we have to understand with students is that they don't know what they don't know. And so sometimes I feel like, I know I do this all the time as a dad, as a mentor, as a coach, I assume that people around me know more than they know. I assume they know what I know. And I see this often with teachers and leaders and coaches with young students, is that they tend to instruct from a place of thinking the kid knows what they know.
Right.
They have the same level of maturity and experience, and it's just not fact.
Right.
So we have to pause and make sure that we are taking the time to shine light on the topic. Make sure that we are helping those kids to discover the principles in a way they clearly understand, and don't just assume they already have prior knowledge to the words that you're using, the phrases, the concepts, but walk through it and really shine light on that topic for them so they clearly get it.
My son, Anderson, he's 1 year old. He's 1 year old, not years. And you know, if you've ever been around a one-year-old, they get into everything. But it's really easy to get frustrated, you know, when you're trying to get ready and all of a sudden he's in the dog food and it's all over, you know. But I'm constantly having to crawl into his perspective.
That's it.
You know,
yes.
Constantly crawling into his perspective and knowing that in that moment he doesn't see a mess. What he sees is the need to discover something. And so for me personally, that's so powerful what you said, is we constantly have to crawl into their perspective.
That's it. And that's it precisely, Casey. That's a great example of exactly what we're talking about here. I remember a story my mom told of when my oldest sister was just a young child, and she had come into the kitchen to help mom make salad. And about, you know, as a kid of that age would have done, and about 2 minutes in, she had a mess everywhere with the salad. And my mom said she became very frustrated and, you know, said to her, "What are you doing?"
Right.
You know, kind of forced back. But then she said she realized she's never made a salad. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Exactly.
She said, and I realized I had to stop and take the time and show her how to shed light on how to make a salad.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're talking about here. Exactly what you said with Ander, that, you know, you have to show him, get down and recognize his perspective.
And take moments like that to empower him to say things like, "Hey, Ander, this is what dog food is," and then bring him alongside when I feed the dogs so that he's discovering some purpose and some new responsibility.
So here's a leadership principle that is really powerful, I think, in this conversation, this part of the conversation. For us as coaches and teachers and mentors, it's this idea: seek first to understand, then be understood. If we will take the time to first understand what's happening in the mind of the child, then we can shape our interaction with them in a way that will help them to understand.
Yes.
So that'll help us to be understood, right?
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that we're coming from that perspective so we can truly give them the light that they need.
Absolutely. So light is discovery.
Yes.
The next thing that a plant needs is room to grow, especially this is in reference to young plants. When you put them in a pot, they need room to grow to spread out their roots. So how do you see room to grow?
The first thing that comes to mind to me for room to grow, and I believe this is true, at least I've heard it a lot, and that is that I hear that if you put like an alligator in a shoebox or in a small box when it's little, that it will never grow past the capacity of the box. And that the only reason that they get to be ginormous is because they live in areas where there are no limitations. And so when I think about room to grow for young leaders, that's exactly what I think of. I think about the plant in this situation as the child's mind. What we want to do is we want to give our kids' minds room to grow. And the way that we limit them is to create synthetic or not natural limitations. Maybe expectations that really, honestly, if we stop and think about it, we can remove the limitations. I'll give you an example of this. I know in a lot of environments, and we have to be watchful of how these things work in nuance, but in a lot of environments, we want to teach kids just to sit still and be quiet, right? As one person once said, when you're first born, the first 2 years of your life, they teach you to walk and talk. And the rest of your life, they're teaching you to sit down and shut up. But in these environments, we often want kids to just be quiet, sit still, listen. When possible, let's unlock that environment and create an environment where kids can give feedback.
Yeah.
And they can share ideas and they can explore ideas. They can share what they're thinking, how they see a certain perspective or what they're thinking about a certain lesson. And what we're doing is we're giving them the room to just explore and to grow. Now, again, we have to watch because, you know, you get into behavioral patterns. It's hard to manage a group. If you've got 20 students in a room, that can be hard to manage. But that's what I'm talking about here, is taking the limitation off at every opportunity to give their minds room to grow.
Absolutely. So the next thing is that a plant needs is we have to make sure that the plant is in the appropriate temperature.
You know, when I think about temperature, I think about it this way. Think about environment. So to me, temperature is environment. What kind of an environment do we want our kids to walk into? A cold environment, a warm environment? And I think the environment has to shift to meet the need of the individual child or the group. In fact, I think within an environment, you can have small environments that match what every student needs. But then the whole overall environment can have a temperature as well. Warm and welcoming, well-received. We know that when we're working with young kids especially, they need to feel that sense of security. So that environment needs to have the secure temperature to it. But then there are times when they need to know that we're the authority and that there's security in our confidence. And so we change the temperature of the room and the environment to match that need. And so when I think about environment, every plant is different. You're not going to take a palm tree from southern Florida and transplant it here to Ohio and have it survive by next spring. It's just not going to happen. It's going to get cold and it can't take it. So every plant has different environments in which it thrives, and so do kids. Kids have environments in which they thrive. We have to pay attention to those things and set the proper temperature.
Actually, and to take your thought but kind of piggyback off of it, you know, if you have an indoor plant, you as the teacher, in my mind, I see us coaches, us teachers, as the people that keep the thermostat, right?
Yeah.
We set the temperature, and we have the awesome responsibility, but it's a responsibility, so it's heavy, to make sure that we are helping our plants thrive. And literally, an entire room of plants could suffocate because we set the temperature wrong.
So let's talk about that. I love that idea. Let's talk about that for just a second. So a thermostat sets the temperature. A thermometer reads the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're operating from a thermometer mentality, we are reacting to the temperature.
Yeah, that's good.
But if we're acting as a thermostat, we are setting the temperature. Now, here's how I would see both of these things can work together. As coaches, mentors, we're both. We read the temperature, and then we take action to set the temperature.
Exactly.
So rather than just strictly responding to the temperature and maybe losing our cool, we choose to read the temperature as a thermometer and say, okay, this is getting a little emotional, maybe a little behaviorally out of hand. And so rather than reacting to that, we respond by setting a different temperature.
Absolutely. And knowing with confidence that whatever temperature we set will be a good benefit.
That's right.
To who we're developing.
And in alignment with what our young plants, our young leaders need.
And we have to see our students as young plants. There's a difference between an old plant that has thrived, that has been in the same soil, that's strong.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And typically what we do with young plants is we put them in greenhouses for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? So this time is precious.
That's right. That's good.
So the next thing a plant needs is air. Uses oxygen and carbon dioxide, and there's a relationship between what we need, what plants give, and what plants need.
Yeah, and I love this too. You know, the idea of, you think about what plants do for us as humans is they give us oxygen.
Right.
Without trees, without plants, we'd be in really bad shape. And so I see the air component in what plants need as the return, the give back. I think kids need the opportunity to give back. You know, we pour in. In fact, we talk about teaching. We say that teaching is the pour in. That's where we're pouring in the principles and the ideas and the concepts. Coaching is the draw out. That's where we're pulling those things out of them, those principles and characters out of them. So I think kids need to have that opportunity to use what they've learned and to give it back to their environment in terms of serving those around them, using their gifts and talents to serve the leader, to take on responsibilities and tasks, right, to have roles and so on. That's that ability to release that energy and that creativity and to give it back based on what they've learned. To me, that's the air component.
And in the same way that plants, we receive oxygen from plants, we as coaches and mentors will receive fresh air when we see our students giving back.
It's so true.
It literally will help us to recycle, re-energize, to push back into our students.
Man,
it's,
I know,
powerful.
That absolutely has been the case for me, and I know it has for you too, that when you see a student that you've worked so hard to try to develop, and they step up and they use the things that they've learned in a way that positively influences the world around them, it's just like, that's what I'm talking
about.
It's
life-giving, and it reminds me, oh, this is why I do this.
That's right. And to your point, it's fresh air.
So the next thing a plant needs is nutrients. And I'm talking about nutrients that we put in fertilizer, like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, et cetera, to help make sure that plants do grow.
Yeah, I love the idea of nutrients. To me, nutrients is expectations. Nutrients are non-negotiables. Our plants need certain nutrients to truly develop in a healthy way. And in the same way, our young leaders need expectations. Mm. They need to know that we're not going to negotiate. This expectation is non-negotiable. So walking in honor, walking in integrity, using your words kindly, being encouraging to others and so on, it's non-negotiable, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to relent on this. And so that's the expectation. We hold that expectation. And we develop them against that expectation. That, to me, becomes the nutrients. That's what's really going to help them to thrive.
Absolutely.
Is when they have to deal with the push through and the grit to deal with that expectation you're not going to relent on. That's going to be uncomfortable for them, but that's what they need to become strong.
Absolutely. And the last and final thing is plants need time to grow.
You know, time to me. So when I talk about the idea of alignment in organizations, you know, if something is out of alignment within a team or an organization, adjustments have to be made. But adjustments never are an instant fix. Mm. Adjustments have to be made consistently over a long period of time to have the kind of impact that they need to have.
Right.
So we have to be patient and give our kids time to become the leaders that we're developing them to be.
Right. And to full circle back to my son, I cannot expect my one-year-old to do what a six-year-old can do.
That's right.
Right? I so badly would love for him to get in the car by himself and buckle himself in. However, at this point in his life, that's not where he's at.
It's so true, Casey, and that's such a great point. And time is the critical factor. If we're doing the right thing in the right way over a good period of time, the right amount of time, we will get the results that we desire.
And being confident that we will get those results. And if I'm always rushing for him to get to this point and get to this point and get to this point, I'm going to miss out on now.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
And so it's the same thing when we're coaching and mentoring. We have to focus. We have to be confident that what we put into them now is going to happen. However, we can't miss the season that they're in right now.
Yeah, that's right. We have to give it time.
Have to give it time.
Casey, this has been a fun conversation. And I want to encourage everyone to take these seven things and use them as a point of evaluation. Are you giving these things to the students that you're trying to develop, and how are you going about that process? And just find ways to improve in each one of these, and I promise you it's going to have a great impact on the kids that you're leading. If you want to find out more about Quest, you can go to quest.org. That's KUEST.org. And until next time, keep developing strong young leaders.